This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's Broadband Wireless Access World. We're about to speak to Carlo McDonald, who's the president of Camsoft Data Systems, Inc., in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Welcome to Utopia Media's Broadband Wireless Access World.
Thanks for having me.
Let's get the players straight here first. What is Camsoft Data Systems, Inc., and what's its relation to Verge Wireless Networks?
Sure. Camsoft Data Systems is a parent company to Verge Wireless. Verge Wireless is basically a subsidiary, and the main funding and financing of Verge Wireless was through Camsoft Data Systems.
Okay.
And Camsoft is the owner of that company.
Okay, and who is U.S. Wireless Online?
U.S. Wireless Online is a publicly traded company that has wireless that's in 11 states. More of a traditional wireless ISP, but getting more into voice over IP and the other applications that we're starting to see grow on these types of networks.
Okay, and you've just announced that U.S. Wireless Online is going to acquire Verge Wireless Networks.
That's correct.
It says in the press release that the terms are not disclosed, but what's the strategic fit between the two companies?
Absolutely. Obviously, Verge Wireless is a big player in the metropolitan hot zone market. You know, Verge has always been focused on building a mesh type network using Tropos products, and that's something that U.S. Wireless Online hasn't traditionally been doing. The idea is that we've been looking for either a partner or somebody to come together with that has significant wireless backhaul capabilities. U.S. Wireless Online has those, especially in those 11 states. What we'll be creating in the company is I guess you could say it's going to be a metropolitan mesh type of solution for these cities that are in towns that are looking to create these networks. Also, we're going to be working with everybody at U.S. Wireless Online in developing applications on these types of networks. In particular, voice over IP, which they recently had acquired a voice over IP company as well. I believe it was last month.
So there's essentially a triple play here involved.
Yes, absolutely. We're going after the same thing everybody else is going after.
Okay. And how independent is Verge going to remain, or is it going to be integrated into the U.S. Wireless Online structure?
Initially, it'll stay the same, but as you can see, they've done quite a few acquisitions in the last few months, and we've now got a couple of different companies all together under one roof. At some time, Verge will come into the U.S. Wireless Online name and be under that.
Okay. Now, does this have any implications for the upcoming RFP process in Philadelphia?
Possibly. Possibly. Our current customers, particularly Pershing Square and Los Angeles, you know, it's business as usual. This is a great opportunity to help us grow. Verge has done great for the 2 years that we've been rolling, but we needed to expand, and in order to do that, we feel like this merger is the best possible way to do it.
Okay, what does Camsoft Data Systems do when it's not running Verge Wireless?
Sure.
When it wasn't running Verge Wireless Networks?
Camsoft is a 14-year-old system integrator here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and predominantly our customers have been in the Gulf South. We do network integration. We manage networks, large and small, but we also have a group of application developers, and we write custom applications for our customers.
Okay, what's happening in Pershing Square? What's the timetable on that? Tell us just a little bit more about
sure.
that hotspot.
Things are finally rolling along. We've got the fiber done, the internet connection's done. We have engineers going out there, I believe Monday,
right?
To turn the thing on.
Oh, is it going to be a big ceremony or anything, or a little ceremony?
Not initially. We're going to have it up for a little bit, and then I believe there'll be a ribbon cutting and everything. The CRA is working that.
Okay, maybe we can bring some of those people on and talk about that with them as well.
Absolutely.
So what do you see then going forward as the capability of this new merged operation to provide both network and applications to new and increasingly widespread hotspots?
I'm excited about it because it instantly gives us access to some great experts in the industry. The chairman of the board is Jay Baggett, who initially was one of the co-founders of SkyTel. And so his expertise, as well as the others on the management team, will help us expand these metropolitan networks a lot quicker than I feel we've been doing. You know, again, the fact that they've already got wireless networks up and running in 11 states gives us instantly access to backhaul, where in the past we would have had to go and bargain with another traditional ISP to build these networks.
So essentially, you have the backhaul portion taken care of in these areas, and you're going to be able to build out mesh networks.
That's right.
From their core backhaul deployments.
Absolutely. In New Orleans, they've already have backhaul, and they already have wireless POPs sitting on top of some of the buildings over there. Now, and we have the piece that sits low to the ground.
Right.
So it's a perfect marriage.
And when you go into, so you'll be able to use your mesh technology to build out their existing systems, and you'll be able to go together to new locations to offer a one-stop shop for the backhaul
right.
and the mesh deployment.
Right. And that's what cities and towns are looking for. They want somebody to come in, build these networks, manage these networks, and make it cost effective for them. And this kind of closes the piece of the puzzle for us and allows us to do those things.
Okay. Overall, what do you see as the prospects in this market in the next, say, 12 to 24 months?
The prospects as far as?
As an increasing interest in metro-level networks.
Oh, well, I mean, that's to go set. Tropos themselves have been really carrying the flag and meeting with government and cities and towns and trying to help them figure out how they're going to build these networks in places where some of these traditional ISPs have not gone.
Right.
There's still, even here in Louisiana, there's plenty of areas where some of the ISPs and some of the standard, the CLEX and RBOCs have said, hell yeah, we have coverage there, but they really don't have coverage there.
Right.
And so there's still quite a few places in this country that do not have internet access, and Wi-Fi and wireless mesh, these kind of solutions can bring those networks to those areas at a cost-effective price. So from a marketing, I mean, from a growth perspective, there's still quite a few areas that need to be covered.
Now, do you see the combined U.S. Wireless Online and Verge Wireless Network operation primarily focusing on areas that don't have broadband now, or do you see them as essentially third alternative? We'll skip satellite for a while.
Mm-hmm.
A third alternative in even overbuilt areas that are essentially feature a duopoly of cable and telco that still have a kind of high price point. Do you see yourself going into those markets or staying more in areas that aren't served yet, or both?
I think both. One of the things that we're bringing to the table too is the public safety aspect of these mesh networks, as well as security surveillance like we've done in New Orleans.
Right.
Those are all solutions that will fall under the U.S. Wireless Online product suite. You know, it's one of my jobs to make sure that is a successful process. And so a place like Los Angeles that's still looking at public safety aspect of mesh and the security surveillance aspects of it, you know, we're going to go after that business.
Okay, so you're saying you will be going into areas that are already pretty built up as well
sure.
as areas that aren't.
Sure, but we may go into those areas as a hot zone public access provider
right.
or a public safety provider, maybe not necessarily as just paid service access. It just depends.
Okay.
As you know, there's a lot of different solutions out there. Philadelphia has taken a different angle at it as well, and there's still a lot of business models to be found.
Right. How much does your success depend on initiatives being taken by cities themselves and to do something on the model of Philadelphia, and how much are you able to essentially go in yourself anywhere you want and start offering service?
I think it's you got to look at the situation. You know, we definitely have a huge amount of room to grow in the small to mid-sized cities.
Right.
A larger city like Los Angeles, you obviously have to take a look at where you're building these networks and for what purpose are you building these networks
right.
for.
Okay.
Whether it's economic development or the public safety model.
Okay, let's wrap up with what your specialty is, which is applications. What are the primary applications that you see riding on top of these networks, including VPN, voice over IP, video, and public safety surveillance? What are the relative importance of those different applications or other ones that I haven't mentioned?
As you've mentioned a good bit of them right there.
Right.
There's a lot of different scenarios. Obviously, security cameras, mobile access in police vehicles, the ability for somebody down in Pershing Square needing to quickly get on the internet to check email, things like that. We've also been talking to location specific advertising.
Right.
Those are applications that we're looking at from different areas. Any mobile type of application. Let me rephrase.
Right.
The public safety. Obviously, that's a given. You've got advertising on these networks is a given. Location advertising, that's a given.
You want to, of course, make sure they're separate so you don't, when you're the police trying to apprehend someone, you don't end up getting an ad for the local hotels.
Absolutely.
Or vice versa.
Those are multi-use Wi-Fi networks,
right.
And that's something that we definitely do, and
right.
you have to
right.
keep that separate. And that's still a learning curve. Some people are still concerned on the security aspects of that, but it is doable.
What can you say about the sort of psychological aspects of surveillance? Is there still a big debate about that? Is it happening without a debate? Do you think that the general citizenry ought to have access to those surveillance cameras, or just the public safety organizations? What's your take on that?
Oh, I don't think the public should have access to video surveillance that's being done in a city.
Right.
In New Orleans, the mayor was very adamant about that these cameras are like a cop on the beat, as they like to put it, and they don't have somebody sitting there watching these cameras 24/7. They're just there to record things so that if something happens, they have a way to go back and check the cameras. I think if a city looks at it in that aspect, it's been very successful. But is there a question on it? Sure, there's still people out there that think we shouldn't do this, but it's hard to combat things when you see crime drop 50% because of a camera.
But essentially, what you're saying, the way it works is that it's like a surveillance camera in a convenience store or an office building.
Right.
It's on a tape that records the last day or so. So if there's an incident and then the authorities need to go back and see what happened, they can do that. But it's not for entertainment or to establish a whole an ongoing record of what everybody does all the time, everywhere they go, anywhere.
Right, absolutely. I mean, it's been very successful in New Orleans, and we're not even nearly done with that project. There's still a lot of areas that we're covering, but in the areas that we do have cameras, they've seen crime drop considerably, and they've actually caught people doing things on these tapes and have been able to use them. So,
and they're all, it's standard evidentiary trail that allows it to be used in court.
Absolutely, you have to. There's certain things, and I don't know what the laws are in California, but in Louisiana, there's a certain rules that have to be followed on video surveillance or
right.
things that you present in court, and it has to do with whether it's an MPEG or a JPEG video.
Right,
it just varies.
Your systems meet those criteria to,
yes.
to be evidence.
Yes.
Is crime migrating out of the covered areas into uncovered areas and establishing a need to keep covering all the areas so that people don't go to the neighborhoods that don't have coverage or the cities that don't have coverage?
Kind of like the anthill, when you put the killer on it and it moves over, the ants just move to another part of the yard.
That's right.
No. I haven't seen that.
Okay.
I can't speak for the city.
I would think if it did happen, it would be a good argument for deploying more networks and more video surveillance until every place was covered.
Well, I think certain places and cities need to be covered. Maybe not every single area, but anywhere where they're having crime, we've got to get these video surveillance cameras in there. It's proving to be very successful.
Okay. Just a final, more general question. What do you see as the impact overall of the kind of technology that U.S. Wireless Online and Verge Wireless Networks have been deploying separately and are going to be deploying together now in terms of the structure of cities, the everyday life of people,
mm-hmm.
and how it's going to affect the ebb and flow of urban life?
Well, I've said it before that I've been in this business 20 years now, and even during the dot-com boom, I got excited, but not that excited. But
right.
it wasn't until wireless came about that I started seeing a whole different way we do things. And from a developer, and that's what I am, from an application developer, I looked at a whole new means of writing software and how we interact with people. So, you know, I think there's a huge shift in the way we develop applications and the way we run these applications and how people have access to the data. So, I mean, I wouldn't be making all these steps and spending all this time and effort if I really didn't believe in what was going on. And I think other leaders in the industry are also seeing the same thing.
Okay. And I want to thank you for talking to us about it today on Broadband Wireless Access World, and congratulations again. And
Thank you. I
hope we can maybe get together here next time you're in L.A. and do some more coverage of the Pershing Square rollout.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there again. It'll be a couple weeks.
Okay, good. Thanks
Take
again.
Care. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye.